prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And in true form of excuses never apply, this show actually 19 minutes late, but very important nonetheless. We had to get this show done because I had nothing but technical difficulties. Thank you to Microsoft, of course. We have to thank Microsoft for their contribution to today's show and almost not having it run. I have to say at the top of every show that my show is made possible through a special grant from All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports. Check them out. Love them. They make it all possible. I'm really excited to be doing today's show. I get a lot of books sent to me. And everybody wants me to read their book and get them on the air. And I reluctantly read them all. And I got to be honest with you. I was slow to pull the trigger on getting this book and reading it. And I literally read the first two paragraphs and I couldn't put the book down. I kid you not. I immediately looked across at Elisa and said, I feel like I'm reading a Jack Reacher novel. And I really sincerely meant that when I said it. I want to introduce everybody to Russ Scala. How you doing, Russ?
Hey, Carl. How you doing, bud?
Now, you've been on the show before and we've talked about addiction and brilliantly discussed addiction. I really never knew your background. I didn't know your pedigree. I didn't know anything about you other than I've read some of your stuff that you've put up on Facebook, and I thought, this guy really does understand addiction. And then I get this book, and I crack it open, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy is the Jack Reacher of human performance. I mean, where everybody else, every guru out there today, including myself, okay, is really just an N equals one experiment. But you really cut your teeth with people on the precipices of death that you had to be able to flip a switch and save their lives. And from that knowledge, you have like a 30,000 foot view of what goes wrong to get them to that point. You got to start out by telling your story where you started.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I've just been fascinated with the metabolism. I started working in the emergency room in high school, and because I basically had low dopamine levels, I gravitated towards, you know, an exciting job. And I had, while I was in high school, I had two mentors, Dr. Crivelli and Dr. Wartzel, that would take me around the hospital and show me the patients and start teaching me physiology when I was like, you know, 16 years old, and I was fascinated with it. Well, that, Carl, led me to become one of the first paramedics that hit the street. And understanding physiology in emergency situations, I kind of saw the collateral damage of what stress did to the body, not only to human beings that I was trying to save, but the other paramedics around me, the other cops, the firemen, the doctors. We were all becoming the walking wounded being in this job. And they asked me to go to the police academy because I had a pretty high save rate, and the cops wanted me to work on them. So I ended up going to the police academy, getting attached to the SWAT team. So that, you know, excelled my knowledge a little more. And from that, I went to, I became a triathlete and I started racing around the country. So by immersing myself in those different fields, I had a good understanding of physiology. And then I started seeing triathletes around me coming down with heart arrhythmias and hypoglycemia. And, you know, we were the first group. We started the ketogenic diet in 1996, believe it or not, because I was wondering why so many marathon runners were heavy when they crossed the finish line. So this evolution started really when I was a kid, and I just kept building on it. And I wanted to design a program for the people first through the door, cops, firemen, you know, military veterans. You know, they're always the first ones through the door, the last ones to be taken care of. You know, so I started the Russ Scala YouTube channel just to get information into people's hands, sort of like what you're doing, you know?
Just for the record, I just got a message from someone on Facebook saying they can't see me on camera. So we're going to go just to a tight view of Russ Scala for the rest of the interview, or at least until the next commercial break, so we can figure out what else Bill Gates is doing to me today. But anyway, so it, this is, you gloss over a lot of really important stuff. I mean, you've actually been fortunate enough to be at the right place in the right time to train with some of the greatest athletes in the world. Now, I don't mean, some people say, oh, I work with athletes, right? Oh, I give them information about how their diet. No, you actually rode side by side. You actually did triathlons. You actually did Ironman competitions with some of the guys who literally were on the tip of the spear of that kind of human physical performance, right?
Yeah, I was tested mitochondrial function in 1996 because, you know, my race was a half Ironman. That was a mile and a half swim, 56-mile bike, 13-mile run. My first one I did in about 8 hours, and the last one I did when I quit because I damaged my physiology beyond belief, but that's another story. The last one I did was I was on about a 440 pace. So understanding my physiology, I didn't really have any great gifts as an athlete, but getting up every morning, and the most important thing is I changed my community. I got away from the cops and firemen, not saying they were bad people, but I moved over to a group of people that were training every day. We watched our diet. We got out in the sun, and it's what I needed. From responding to all those emergency calls, Carl, you know, you could imagine that just tore my system up. I was promoted to lieutenant. My hands started shaking when I was on emergency scenes. I'm like, holy shit. Of course, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was drinking like a fish, as you could imagine. And, you know, I was so blessed to meet these people and start training with them, you know?
So and again, you know, your book is the same way. You want to excerpt every single sentence because in every single sentence, you hit buttons. You know, sometimes you have to read a whole page to get a pearl of wisdom. And I found myself, you know, wanting to dog ear if it was, I wasn't reading a Kindle, but if it was a paperback, I was going to dog ear like every single page. I found stuff on there that was significant. So you kind of gloss over the whole cortisol thing just now.
Okay.
It's clear.
You want me to drill down on that?
Yeah. Well, let me kind of couch this a little bit. So,
okay, cool.
It's clear that as an emergency responder, there's several things I want to bring out here. As an emergency responder, you brought forth a very, very important point, and that is that while you're out there saving everybody else's lives, you're literally chipping away at your longevity, your health, and your life with each endeavor. But that's because of the stress that you're under constantly, and especially as you point out that these first responders tend to stay together because who could actually understand those kind of things going on in a life? Who could actually understand that sort of thing? So you end up working together. You end up hanging out together. And so the stress never goes away because what are you doing in the evening? Instead of talking about golf or baseball, you're talking about the guy who you paddled three times and he didn't come back to life and how bad you feel about it. And so you're perpetuating this stress. And while I can't say the average guy who's dealing with a divorce, a possible home foreclosure, or losing his job, is at that same level of stress. But to him, it is. Stress is really quite, what's the right word? Subjective, I guess, right? So talk about cortisol and diseases of modernity today.
Okay, so here's the deal. Cops and firemen, war veterans, we all have heart attacks in our 40s and 50s. And that's because we elevate cortisol levels. And as you know, cortisol is beneficial, but when you elevate it too much, it damages our hippocampus, damages the lining of the endothelial lining. And if you think about cops and firemen, what do? We eat simple carbohydrates to elevate serotonin levels to knock us out at night. Take a page out of the book, Potatoes, Not Prozac, and it speaks to that. So being in that constant state of stress, in your 20s, when your hormones are at their peak level, you really think you're bulletproof. And in reality, you're suppressing the HPA G axis, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal gonadal axis. And there isn't a physician out there that knows how to treat that. They treat everything and they compartmentalize everything. So I started seeing people around me having heart attacks. I had good friends on the job with me commit suicide. I'm thinking, how did I miss that? Holy shit. And I'm a lifesaver. I'm in the life-saving business. So when I was off work in order to stop drinking, I would say, well, I don't want to drink today. So I would call up and say, listen, I want to come into work, because the lights and the sirens and saving lives kept me jacked up, kept my dopamine levels jacked up like any drug that you used back in the day. Right.
Right. Right. And really, in this day and age, most people live with the kind of stress that could actually erode their health. Because, like I said, because stress is subjective. To you, it's one thing. To me, it's another thing. But we're both constantly triggering that fight or flight syndrome, if you will, even though we're not being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, just because we know our boss is going to give us a hard time today. I think a lot of people overlook this. Cortisol is treated kind of like this, cortisol, body fat, cortisol. But the reality is, it really could be traced back that the cortisol levels of today are destroying lives. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, Carl. The reason today I'm a high-level interventionist for corporate executives is because I understand the fight or flight response. I understand with what I went through. I help these guys get out of the railroad tracks. And they're always amazed, and I'm not, I never pat myself on the back. I just surround myself with a good team. I've always worked with teams. But when you get a corporate executive that hit the wall like I did, like you did, what's his choice? He goes to his general practitioner. He gets put on an antidepressant and an anxiety medication while his HPAG axis, testosterone levels and growth hormone levels, go in the toilet, which compromises his body, accelerates the aging process, elevates hemoglobin A1C, elevates insulin level. And before you know it, this guy is on his way to diabetes, heart disease, or cancer, when it could be taken care of in one location with a doctor that just focused on insulin and inflammation.
I want to take a break a little early than normal because I want to get my camera working right so I can get back in the picture. The good news is that the audio podcast is flawless. I'm watching it tape, and that just goes to show you that I probably should keep my hands off of video. We're talking with Russ Scala. I'm gonna say something that I probably have never said before. If you're listening to this podcast, you have to buy this book. It's called American Biohacker. It's chock full of so much great information. And if nothing else, the greatest information in there is that there's a high probability that if you're struggling with a disorder or disease and you're going to the average doctor, you're being disserved. Because there's a lot of information that Russ has in that head of his that could save a million. I say this, I'm not pandering. Save a million lives this year if it just got in the hands of the right people. I want to fix the video. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. Well, hopefully my camera is up too now. I had to reload it. We're talking today with Russ Scala. Amidst all the technical difficulties that I'm struggling with while I'm trying to produce the show at the same time and actually do the interview, I can't tell you how inspired I was by this book. I'm being sincere, Russ. I get a lot of people send me books. I'm like, oh, my God, you know, who has the time to read all these books? I picked up your book, and in two paragraphs, I was like, I was completely engaged. I couldn't put it down. I read it right up until the time I fell asleep. I woke up this morning. Thank you, Tim Bruce, my buddy. Tim Bruce is our sales rep, by the way, if you want to buy advertising on the show. I woke up this morning, the first thing. I got out of the bedroom. I went back downstairs. I started reading it again. And there's so much good information there. One of the things I want to focus on just for a second is endurance athletes, because I've had a lot of people come on my show who were endurance athletes who confided in me that they had lone AFib or idiopathic AFib, which basically means the doctor doesn't understand why you have it because you're so damn fit. What's going on with the heart when we look at these types of individuals?
Vascular disease. I was responding to heart attack patients in the early 80s. So when I became a triathlete and I started racing around the country, I started, you know, hanging out with the triathletes, finding out a lot of them had arrhythmias and the cardiologists didn't know what to do. So I put together this program and I would meet with cardiologists and they would just blow me off. And I'm like, I really wanted to do something, you know? So I ended up, this is why I started the Institute of Nutritional Medicine and Cardiovascular Research. Just for that reason, because an endurance athlete's heart is completely different. So a cardiologist has a screen in his head of looking at 60, 70, and 80-year-old people with an enlarged heart. A guy comes through the door with a resting heart rate of 30. He has, you know, a great tan. He's 7% body fat, and he has an arrhythmia. The doctor starts freaking out, and then he finds out the guy has an enlarged heart Well, of course he has an enlarged heart because he's an endurance athlete. So the cardiovascular community, when they're running in the endurance people started running into problems. The cardiologists were completely lost. And then I started having buddies of mine having heart attacks. And I documented this on the Russ Scali YouTube channel. And I open source everything, Carl, like you. I said, this is the reason how you damage the endothelial lining. And I got up. I started seeing athletes with high calcium scores, athletes that needed marathon runners with no family history needing triple bypass surgery because the endothelial lining was being damaged because of elevated cortisol and low testosterone levels. Let's forget about muscle and libido for a minute. Testosterone allows nitric oxide, as you know, to be released from the arterial wall, the endothelial lining, keeping the arteries and veins dilated. Well, if the heart on the average beats 84,000 times a day, every time your heart beats, I was measuring that at an imaging center called ejection fraction, racing at a very high heart rate of 160 and 180 when you're doing intervals, and then having your heart rate go from bradycardia to tachycardia, that was damaging the lining of the arteries. I saw this in the 90s, and they're still not looking at it today. It drives me crazy. I was on the phone with a cardiologist last week, and I just sent him the video on my YouTube channel, and he couldn't believe it. He says, you nailed this. How come nobody knows about it? I go, well, I don't think I nailed anything. I was a triathlete. I'm seeing people with arrhythmias, people with blocked arteries. It's coming from the training, and everybody thinks we're fit. And again, I'm not shooting down triathlon or endurance training. I'm just saying, you know, you've got to do it the right way. You've got to do your blood work.
But wait a minute. Why aren't you shooting it down? Just hear me out for a second. I know you loved it, and I loved it too. When I was young, I loved to run. It's something very, very freeing and zen-like about running.
Exactly.
But aren't we seeing, if we look at it from an evolutionary medicine standpoint, aren't we seeing something that's contrary to our condition? Because remember, when sex steroids start to drop, sex hormones start to drop, that's indicative that our environment is hostile. Things aren't good. We shouldn't have offspring, so we shut down that machinery because we can't take care of ourselves and nevertheless bring a child into the world. Doesn't this show, I mean, in all honesty, that type of training is not good for physical condition, for health?
No, and that's another thing, and I got to be careful. Whether you're climbing K2 or you're doing triathlon training, your community can get you into trouble. Like, I left the police, firemen, SWAT guys, drinking a lot, staying up, interrupted sleep patterns, bad food. I moved over to the triathlon community, and I felt great for a couple of years. How could this training ever be hurting me? Well, it was hurting me.
Right.
I was suppressing my HPA axis. It took me a few years to find that out. And then I had to quit. So I'm like, shit, what community? I had to watch 100 cycles. I used to do a 100-mile bike ride every Sunday. I had to quit, sit at Starbucks, watch the cyclists ride by me. I'm like, this is fucking lonely. But anyway, here I am today. It's your community. It's understanding the right kind of exercise, what you talk about. You don't have to run a marathon. And actually, doing endurance training for a marathon, you're in a state of disease. Now, don't. I'm not saying that.
Don't back it up. You're being honest. Look, I'm going to tell you, if you're a competitive powerlifter, you're a competitive bodybuilder, and you're using all those drugs, there's nothing about health in that recipe. You're doing it for one reason only, and you're throwing everything else to the side. You say, I don't care if I'll ever have children, if I'll die of a stroke or a heart attack at 30. I don't care, because right now all I want is this. The truth is that most of these long-distance runners die of heart problems. And you got to ask yourself, well, if all that running is so good for you, why would they die? Because it's not good for you. There's, you know, the term marathon from Greek mythology was the guy who ran all the way back to Marathon, Greece, to tell the people that the enemy were coming, and he collapsed and died after he dropped his message. That was it. He died.
Yeah, good point. And I think people with low circulating dopamine levels like you and I, that, you know, there's an addiction center in New York City called the Odyssey House that takes heroin addicts.
I remember it.
And trains them to run the New York City Marathon. So you get it. There you go.
No, but I remember Odyssey House. I remember when it started. I remember them advertising in the 70s when Odyssey House first started advertising in New York.
So I think I was born with low circulating dopamine levels, and it took me now to the age of 60 just to kind of figure out what works for me.
But you know what I'm afraid of? And you and I talked off the air. My audience knows everything about me, so it's not like I'm saying anything that they haven't heard. But I've admitted that my mother took both Librium, which was one of the early benzodiazepines, and she smoked cigarettes during her pregnancy with me. And you said, well, that could have set you up for this whole dopamine thing.
Right.
But in reality, most of us are living in fear today, and some sort of fear, whether it's fear of loss of a job, fear that your wife's going to leave you, fear that your boss is going to give you a hard time, fear that your car's going to break down because you know that you haven't had it serviced. Most of us are living in fear today. And those cortisol levels, I would imagine that if you were able to go to Paleolithic times and look at cortisol levels of those, our ancestors, and today, they had peaks of cortisol. Oh, a saber-toothed tiger, I'm going to run. And they had dips where they were playful and restful and sitting around and sniffing their butt like chimpanzees do. And we don't have that today. We just don't. And everybody's cortisol is revved up all the time. So aren't we giving birth to children who are going to have low dopamine just from that standpoint?
Yeah, that's a very good point. What you're talking about is fetal origins. The mother and father's cortisol levels and diet can impact the developing fetus. Let's take a page from Dr. Sapkowski out of Stanford, who studies psychoneuroimmunology. He's got a new book out called Behave, and he wrote Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers that speak, Carl, to exactly what you're talking about. Psychoneuroimmunology is basically elevating your cortisol levels, suppressing your immune system, and with the three C's, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, consumerism. Guys are in the hamster wheel now. I was a paramedic attached to the SWAT team. What was happening to my body happens to a guy that works 40 hours a week that's trying to raise a family. It just takes him maybe 10 years to start to feel the effects, and he doesn't have anywhere to turn. He gets put on antidepressants, like you and I both know, and that isn't the protocol. He needs nutritional and hormonal replacement therapy. A lot of these keto people, the keto gurus out there, they need to understand they're dropped into the second act of a third act play. Some people have physiological damage, and you can't put people on a low carbohydrate diet until you balance them out brain chemistry wise, work with their addiction. You know, you cut the carbs out of somebody's diet too quick, you could suppress serotonin and dopamine levels. You cut the carbs out too quick, you know, these people are going to have a boost in adrenaline and start feeling anxiety. So the ketogenic movement, I think, is wonderful, but you really got to dial it into the person and not use sweeping generalizations.
Yes, but it's hard to market individualized prescriptions for people.
Yeah.
You can't write a book unless you're going to write one book for one person, and that's it. No, because you know why? Since you said this, there's a couple really popular keto Facebook pages that I kind of lurk around once in a while. And I remember that one day, this particular instance, this woman was saying, I've been on keto for 6 months. I haven't lost any weight. I'm losing my hair. My eyebrows are thinning. I can't sleep. I feel sad and depressed. And instead of them saying, well, maybe keto's not for you, they're telling her to take Lexapro. Don't abandon keto. Eat more fat. That's your problem. And take Lexapro. I'm thinking to myself, are these people frigging crazy? This person isn't ready for keto, period. End of story.
Well, that's why, Carl, I think what you're doing is so valuable because, listen, fat distribution is genetically determined, hormonally regulated, upper and lower body fat. There's a lot of women that are estrogen dominant, as you know. You put them on the ketogenic diet, nothing's going to happen. These people need to be educated to get blood work done. I use the ketogenic diet, intermittent fasting with our clients out of my center. But first, we check the intestinal tract. We check the brain chemistry. We don't put them on this diet until we balance them out nutritionally, hormonally, and then we go really slow with them, sort of a cyclical ketogenic diet. Listen to how your body feels. Keep a food mood log. If you can't sleep at night on the ketogenic diet, then introduce carbohydrates back into your diet at night. Take a page from the book, Potatoes Not Prozac. You can knock yourself out with a sweet potato. Sleep is the most important thing in the world, and
yes,
it's used as a form of torture if you don't get it.
So on the cover of the book, which I love the picture, I love the picture. And really, I hope people start saying that you're the Jack Reacher of human performance. You and maybe my friend Nate Morrison really get this kind of accolade from me. So on the cover of the book, under your left arm, that's an automatic weapon hanging under your arm, isn't it?
Yeah, when I was on the SWAT team, we moved from revolvers to Sig Sauer's P226 and MP5 submachine guns. So I had to I attended two SWAT competitions where we had to prepare a team and train and compete against teams from around the United States and got our asses kicked. But I learned a lot by interacting with those guys. I also learned a lot by shooting at a stationary target.
Yeah.
Is not, you know, what people don't realize is that when I was in the police academy, so many screens drop in your head. You're almost paranoid. When a police officer walks up to a traffic stop, his heart rate is 140. He's shit scared. If he's in a bad neighborhood, I'm telling you what, that job is so hard. I had to go from a lifesaver to, you know, can I have the ability to shoot somebody in the face? And that isn't my makeup. I've been raised to take care of people. And that was difficult for me. And I watched how the cops just kind of hung out with cops and sooner or later, everybody became an asshole. And I understand that
right.
From a protection standpoint, but not a good community. I mean, again, we got to take care of these guys a little better. We got to do blood work on these officers. They're very short lived in the game, man.
I used to own an alarm company in Louisville, and right around when I got sick, I was selling my alarm company. And then when I found my salvation, which was the same things that you're talking about today and correcting a lot of the maladies that I had developed as being an average American, I had a good friend back then named Doug White, who was the chief of police. And I said this to him. I said, these officers ought to be tested for – well, he was retired at that time. I said, these officers ought to be tested for testosterone levels because that affects – reaction time. You know that old saying, the most dangerous animal in the jungle is an old one, because they don't know how to react anymore. They don't have the confidence that they can react properly, so they overreact. And testosterone levels are really critical for these warriors, these modern day warriors that have to walk among us and act civilized and then be able to flip a switch and become violent that quickly. And I really think that it would serve them if they started looking at testosterone levels.
Yeah, there's a book called The Psychological Uses and Abuses of Psychology in Military Training. It's a really thick book, and there's a lot of training. Like to become a Navy SEAL, they spend about $500,000, and to take a kid that was raised by good parents and train him to kill somebody, the dehumanization process is really hard to get your head around. We always watch movies, and we love movies that are action and people shoot each other, but the people I met that had to shoot people that were close, bro, they're never right, man. And we got an extend. You know, with the training you do to become an officer and work in Iraq or to become special forces, they cut these people loose and send them home, and they're not looking at their hormonal levels. It's heartbreaking when you start to hear these stories.
Well, and you also point out in the book that when they're in the military, they have camaraderie, they have community, they have. On the left and right of them is a brother. And then when they're vets, and after they've been torn up and psychologically tortured by the job, they send them home and they're by themselves now. And they're supposed to matriculate back into a family that has no idea what it's like to see a guy with the lower half of his body blown off. And it's really unfair what we do to vets. It's not a job. Going to war is not a job. And as sooner we start to realize that, the better off we are. The other thing that I want to point out that you talk about in the book is several passages in the book. You mentioned the words "out in the sun." You know, all of a sudden we become fascinated with different wavelengths of light. I just was on a conference call the other day with some guys that are developing a product, and we're talking about near infrared, 880, 890 nanometers, 660, 430. You know, it's like, and I kept saying to them was, guys, just get out in the sun. All of those wavelengths are in the sun. The reason that you see magic in them is because we evolved for millions of years leveraging them. And this idea that we need this wavelength for that or that wavelength for that, that's all nonsense. You just need people to, you know, the dermatological industry has done the human race today a great disservice by making them afraid of the sun. Because the reality is that people who live closer to the equator don't have higher cancer rates than we do in the United States. If the sun was the reason for cancer, then we would see the uptick in cancer as you get closer to the equator. Not true. So sun's not the problem. And if anything, the lack of sun is. Your thoughts?
No, you're so right, because a lot of my when I'm doing an intervention today, say I meet a guy tomorrow and he's on multiple medications, I got to get him outside in the sun for at least 10 minutes. A lot of these guys are high functioning like you are, so I got to drip the science on them slowly, because, I mean, by the time they get to me, they've been to four docs, they're pissed off, and they're like looking at me going, what are you going to do, stud? So one of the things I do is I go get out in the sun. The reason the sun hits your eyes, it resets your circadian rhythm, right? And then I got to work on getting these guys sleeping. I don't talk about hormones. I don't talk about nutrition. I find out, is he going through a divorce? What job does he have? A lot of these high-level gamers and these white hat code writers that are in front of a computer 16 to 36 hours, I work with them. They end up being putting on sleep medication. These guys crash and burn really fast. And in a small startup company, it's critical that these guys are the key men in this organization. I got to keep them healthy. So, you know, you can't bang down the Skittles and the Mountain Dew while you're jacked in writing code. You know, you've got to have downtime. So this is what I see. I got to pull the puzzle pieces together, but I don't get answers right away. And a lot of times what I do, it's like finding a serial killer. You know, I got to really drill down on getting these people answers. And luckily I got a good team around me, a good lab, a good compounding pharmacy that's always a phone call away.
It's funny because upstairs from me, there is a IT company that services lots of big commercial accounts here in the city. And most of these guys smoke cigarettes. And most of them are out there every 15 minutes taking a break. But they're looking at their iPhones and they're smoking a cigarette. And you talk about how you used nicotine early on when you first became a paramedic. That you knew, like, oh, I've got just enough time to suck down a Marlboro Red. And by the time I get there, I'm going to be on. And, you know, we forget nicotine, caffeine, these are drugs, but they become very socially acceptable in society. We don't even think of them as drugs anymore.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And that's what I did. I didn't realize I was medicating myself. But I would get a call for an auto accident with two people dead, six people injured. And it would take us about, you know, 5 to 6 minutes to arrive on the scene. I would be first in on the scene. I would smoke a Marlboro Red. The nicotine, once I inhaled it and took a big breath, it would cross my blood-brain barrier in about 8 seconds. And, you know, nicotine is a nootropic. It was calming me down but keeping me ultra-focused. So when I got out on the scene, I'd put my headset on. I would call a hospital. I would start triaging victims, starting IVs, landing a helicopter. I was always accused of being dyslexic and ADD. But once I got out on the emergency scene, I started getting awards. I'm like, shit. I must be pretty good at this. I don't know. So, but that I was medicating myself with the cigarette, because when I got on the scene, I knew I was going to be in a hyperkinetic state, and that just enough of that nicotine allowed me to dial in, walk past two people that were going to die, focus on the ones that I was going to get the IV started on and get the meds in. So yeah, the nicotine was helpful, but obviously in the form of a cigarette with all the other chemicals, it's not good. Now they're using nicotine patches and caffeine to accelerate acetylcholine transfer in the brain and warding off Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. So it's a tool, you know, to use.
I actually did a show with Anthony Roberts last year. The best nootropic on the market, stop at Walgreens and pick up some of that nicotine gum if you want to see what a nootropic really feels like, because I do it. If you take too much of it, it actually makes you nauseous, so you know it's really doing something.
Yeah, if you take too much of the nicotine gum, it'll drop your blood sugar and it'll make you get sick. I've tried it on a couple of, like I said, people that I was helping, trying to help them focus, that never had any nicotine in their system before. And even 5 milligrams was too much.
Yeah, I stay at 2. If I take 1 to 2 with a little green tea, I feel it. I feel sharp. I feel on. If I take more than that, the slight nauseous feeling, it predominates, and then I'm not on. One last thing I need to mention before we go into this break. Well, two things. First of all, the reason you would attach to SWAT was because these cops saw you save so many lives that they thought this guy's a goner, that they said, we want him in case we get shot. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I wasn't on an entry team. I stayed back with the sniper. So when officer got shot, just my personality, they knew that I would get them into surgery with under the golden hour, and nothing would stop me. I mean, I always get accused of being a little too intense, but I'm trying to work on that.
Well, in fact, didn't people say that you were insensitive or uncaring because you zeroed in on the tasks? You didn't let the blood and the mayhem, like you really were in that flow state when you were in that environment.
Yeah, I couldn't on my days off, which caused me a lot of problems in relationships. I really couldn't go to Bed's Bath and Beyond with my girlfriend. It just never worked out, brother.
The book is fantastic. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. If you buy this book and you're disappointed, I will buy it back from you. It's called American Biohacker, and I love the image. I'm telling you right now, Russ Scala is the Jack Reacher of human performance. We're going to get more into his life in just a minute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenix Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenix Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenix Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenix banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenix Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Something makes me carry on. It's difficult to understand why I always want to fight. I do it for the drugs. Why do we just
I used to love this song when it first came out because I knew A lot of the things I've done in my life, I've done for the drugs. Because I am one of those dopamine-starved people, obviously. We wouldn't be doing this book any service. Hey, Jim Brown is here. We wouldn't be doing the. I can't wait to get him on with his new book, by the way. Don't forget, Jim. I'm waiting for a copy. Yours I'll read, too, just like Russ's. Oh, man, I hope other people don't get mad at me. Anyway, we wouldn't be doing this discussion, the service it deserves, if we didn't talk about the very beginning of the book. I mean, that's where it really caught me. You were actually with Signature Pharmaceuticals, the pharmacy in Florida, right?
Yeah, I was the director of research and development right around 2005, 2006.
And that pharmacy had some problems, but the problems now that you discuss in the book, I understand. See, because what went around the internet was, oh, Signature Pharmacy got busted for prescribing anabolic steroids. You know, it was a steroid mill. But the reality was, what you had learned from living at the 30,000 foot level of being able to take performance and medicine and life saving and disease states and kind of see it from up here and go, oh, look, those two overlap. Oh, these three overlap. Oh, look, there's something there. You realized that these guys, they needed testosterone or they were going to develop heart problems and other issues. And that's the reason that because you were doing something that 100 years from now, they're going to look back and go, oh, that's the way to do it. But because the medical orthodoxy wasn't caught up to you, they wanted to eradicate you.
Yeah, because I was very familiar with physiology and how stress compromised the metabolism. And when I signed on with Signature as director of research and development, they already had, like, I think 10,000 women on their women's hormonal program. They were trying to get the men's market kicked up. I knew that cortisol and stress suppressed hormonal levels. And I brought on the nutritional component. So in 2006 in Signature, I brought on the organics acid testing to look at mitochondrial function, because even though Signature was looking at libido and sexual dysfunction, I knew that the hormones are going to be important to stabilize diabetes, heart disease, dementia, and obesity. I was focusing on disease-specific treatment protocols, and we were trying to work on the long-acting growth hormone then. And, you know, I was doing the lab work. And when I would go to these anti-aging centers and look at the people inside these anti-aging centers, I immediately went back 20 years, and I was thinking about everybody I would take into nursing homes. So in my mind, I remember taking people into nursing homes, and then I'm working with people in their 70s and 80s in anti-aging centers. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And I knew I was on the right track. And then obviously, I didn't understand how you could buy the product from China. I didn't know the legalities behind it, but obviously they got into just some trouble when we got shut down. But we were definitely on the tip of the spear, and they ended up getting cleared. So, but you're just going through that.
But you never hear about that. I didn't know that. See, I'm telling you, I don't even trust television anymore in any aspect. I don't care what media outlet, because you never hear that. Nobody comes back and says, hey, remember that story we did a year ago where we demonized everybody who worked at Signature Pharmacy? Well, it turns out they were wrong. And those people were all legit and they were cleared. You never hear that. You only hear about the takedown.
Yeah, it's always, you know, Carl, this is the reason why I started the Russ Scali YouTube channel, because I beat my head against the wall training physicians for 15 years. Now, like you, I started the Russ Scali YouTube channel to go directly to the people, to put information into their hands. I studied how do I transfer learning to behavior in a short story format when I was in my master's program at Rollins College. I knew we were all going to have short attention span. How do we educate the people to take care of and pull the trigger on stopping their mother with dementia, for instance? What can they do from watching a 3-minute video that they could take action immediately and help them understand that iatrogenic deaths are the third leading cause of death in the United States from our own medical system. So now, like you, I go directly to the people and I educate them. That's why I think what we're doing, Carl, you and I, Jay Campbell, Jim Brown. We got to start the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, brother.
I don't think anybody's ever used the word gentleman in my name in the same sentence, but I'll accept it. I'll accept it. But
it's a metaphor.
I know. But you know what? So what you're doing is fantastic, and you have a very, very high echelon of clients. How do you take this to the masses? Or is it even something that you want to take to the masses? Because I've become of the thinking that maybe this is the new evolutionary selection pressure, where you get your information from.
Yeah, I think Jay Campbell asked me the same question on his podcast. I think content is the new oil. So you and I are creating, I think we could take this to the masses in an educational format, in an educational product. Like the Carl University, you know, as an example. And for $29.95 a month, somebody could understand and put the studies into their hand that could sway their doctor into getting them in hormonal therapy. I really believe content is the new oil. And instead of educating the physicians, we educate the people, put real live information into their hands. I think, you know, look at regular TV. Everybody's customizing their TV channels, whether it's Netflix or Hulu. These people need content creators. And I think that's a revenue stream that we all have that we haven't tapped into yet, Carl.
I know you've got clients to see, and you've been very gracious because we're quite a bit over getting started at 19 minutes late. The other thing that I wanted to touch on here, I just actually lost my frame of thought here as I'm trying to watch everything that's going on, is why is it that masculinity has become toxic? You know, something you said earlier made me think about this, and this is something I'm really interested in sincerely. You know, they had 10,000 female clients on HRT, no problem. As soon as you start bringing the guys on and you start using the T word, all of a sudden you're up to no good. What is it about testosterone and masculinity that all of a sudden has become? Because remember, testosterone is what allowed us to venture out of the caves and create the trajectory that we are today. Let's be honest. That's what it was. And why is all of a sudden masculinity toxic?
I just think because, again, when the president of the United States gets on TV and says he's banning performance-enhancing drugs, it just drops a screen in everybody's head, you know, and that's the world we live in. So we got to drip the science slowly, Carl, and educate the people. You know, doctors have no problem writing for opiates, but they go sideways when they got to write for testosterone. Why is that? So, you know, that's the world we live in. So that's what we got to deal with every day is why I like, you know, people can't remember numbers. You tell somebody a phone number, they got to repeat it three times. It's got to be processed in the hippocampus, shot up to long-term storage. You tell somebody a good story or a good joke, they'll remember it because our brains are hardwired for stories. That's why your story of using drugs, getting on hormonal therapy, elevating your dopamine levels naturally, your journey that you've been on speaks to every guy out there that may be addicted to something that's looked at as a bad person. I deal with addicts every week. Addicts to me are just like a diabetic. You know what I'm saying? They need help and they're not bad people. They just don't have the tools.
You know what's really funny? A lot of the I've not been to your YouTube channel. Again, it's Russ Scala YouTube channel, and I will go there now that this interview is done. I have not been there. But there's a lot of terms that you use in the book that are terms that I've used on the show over the years. And it's striking to me because I actually had a doctor on here talking about a study he published on cholesterol and heart attack. And I said, you know, there's a lot of people out there with high cholesterol that don't have heart attacks. If cholesterol equals heart attack, then everybody who has high cholesterol would have heart attacks. And the analogy I gave him, I said, you know, if I punch a hole in your wall and you spackle it, who created the problem? Me punching the hole in the wall or the spackle? Of course, it's me punching the hole in the wall. Why don't we address the real problem? But you use the spackle and arterial cholesterol levels build up the same in the book. And I found that very, very fascinating. Talk about cholesterol real quick.
Yeah, on the Russ Scala YouTube channel, I talk about this. I've been studying heart disease for like 30 years. On my YouTube channel, I talk about what to do when athletes have heart attacks or a high calcium score, and I break it down from 30,000 feet to the cellular level. It's the video is 10 minutes long. You can take that video into your cardiologist and wake him up as how to take care of you. the endothelial lining, the lining of the coronary arteries gets damaged. Just like you said, spackle on a wall. Cholesterol is not the problem. It's when you mix fat and sugar. This is where the ketogenic movement is spot on. Inflammation is the cause of endothelial damage. Why were the athletes that were extremely fit blocking their arteries? Well, low testosterone. You could Google low testosterone and high cortisol and endothelial dysfunction, and it will show you. All I'm doing is putting together research that's already out there. High cortisol and low testosterone will damage the endothelial lining. Now, once that gets out there and that becomes common, then testosterone's not going to be bad.
Yeah, no, you're right on. Listen, I'm sorry this has to end now, but this has been a fantastic interview, and I really appreciate you making time and living through all the technical difficulties at the beginning to get this show done today.
Okay.
It's great stuff, and I got to tell you, anybody, Jim Brown just said it, and I'm saying it too, this is really a great book. I read a lot of books. I read a lot of studies. I read a lot for this show. I promise you, forget about the content. His writing style is fantastic. You've had so many careers in your life. I think you should start looking for fiction novels as the next career. No, really. Your writing style. I love the way you write. It grabs you immediately. If I can't get through the first page of a book, I'm not going to read it. Your book, from that first paragraph, it's like, bam. Okay, I got to hear what happens next. Your writing style is fantastic. Really, really good.
Thanks, brother.
Listen, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you for doing what you do, guys.
All right, take care.
All right, bro.
Hey, and then so I want to thank everybody who patiently waited for today's show to start. My camera didn't work and everything else. We'll be back to the normal podcast tomorrow. I'm not doing any video. Well, I may have to do video with Coach Rob Regish, so we'll see. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening today, and we'll see you tomorrow.